Ya lo hace. Pierna derecha, directo al arco. ¡Golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Wednesday, August 8th, 2018. Kevin Larame with you. As always, thanks for your subscription. If you're watching us live, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube feed and click on the notification bell to make sure you are always aware of our live shows. Thanks for subscribing on podcasts and everywhere you get your online, on-demand audio shows. Dwayne will be back in the second segment with an interview with Alex Schieffer-Decker of 55.1 to talk about the Ramirez threat and Minnesota United Football Club. The Loons, we're going to talk about the Loons in the second segment. But to start the show today, it's Cup Wednesday. It's U.S. Open Cup. It's the Voyagers Cup. It is the semifinals of the U.S. Open Cup tonight. Philadelphia Union versus the Chicago Fire in Philly. The Houston Dynamo versus LAFC in Houston. Let's take a look at the quarterfinals, which gave us those matchups for tonight. They happened last month on July 18th. Philadelphia beat Orlando City 1-0 in Philly to gain their ticket for the semifinal. For Chicago, the opponent of Philly tonight, they were playing the last USL team in this tournament in the quarterfinals, Louisville City, Lou City, the Lou, and they lost 4-0 Louisville. They got a red card in that game, which happened as well on July 18th. Chicago won big 4-0 on that day. The Houston Dynamo had a pretty tough opponent in the quarterfinal in Sporting Kansas City. Houston 4, Sporting Kansas City 2 in this semifinal on July 18th as well. And the last quarterfinal to happen in the U.S. Open Cup last month was the expansion team of LAFC versus the Portland Timbers. It finished 3-2 for LAFC and not without controversy. Involving Canadian player Marc-Anthony Kay, who, by the way, got a surgery a few days ago. And Marc-Anthony, we wish you a speedy recovery and hope that you are doing well at the moment. Very tough ankle injury for him, suffered a couple of weeks ago playing in the league game for LAFC. But the Angels, LAFC, won 3-2 against Portland on July 18th. And Marc-Anthony Kay was... he was the sixth foreign player playing in this game. And LAFC had asked the USSF if Marc-Anthony Kay, if he was playing, would be included as a domestic or as a foreign player. And because of MLS rules, which Marc-Anthony Kay is a Canadian player from an academy and is kind of considered domestic in MLS's new rules right now. And LAFC thought he would have been a domestic in the U.S. Open Cup as well, and they did do their due diligence, and USSF told them, yes, he is, but he wasn't, and Portland did put an appeal that was taken away by Portland themselves a few days after the game, so that was a bit of controversy, but LAFC still got the win and still got to continue on in this tournament tonight. So Philly, Chicago at 7 p.m. Eastern Time tonight, 10 p.m. Pacific. Houston Dynamo versus LAFC at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 11:30 Pacific. It's interesting games. I do have a feeling my favorites for me would be Chicago and Philly, but you never know. Philly playing at home, Philly not trending in the right direction in the league right now, could get a chance at a trophy at the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup if they get a result tonight. And there's a great article by Jonathan Tannenwald of Philly.com, of the Philadelphia Inquirer, that you can read that Phillies actually practice penalties and have the mindset to be ready for them tonight in case it happens, because it's a cup game. And cup game means there has to be a winner. It won't be the case in the Voyagers Cup, which we'll touch in a second, but I love cup games. Gotta love me some results. You got one game, Winner moves on. Losers go home. No chance at a trophy. Houston versus LAFC. Could this be LAFC's only chance at a trophy this year? Maybe, but the way they're playing, that they could make the playoffs, it's not a far-fetched idea to see LAFC make the playoffs in their expansion year, just like Atlanta did last year. Wow, it's crazy how Atlanta and LAFC changed the way we perceive expansion teams. Yes, a lot of money is involved. Yes, good signings, good coaches, put in the right place, surrounded by the right people. And that's what you get. Looking at you, everyone else. The bar has been set high. Hello, Nashville. Hello, Cincinnati. I hope you guys are ready. Houston Dynamo, LAFC. LAFC would be my favorite tonight. We'll see. We'll see how serious they do take this semifinal. I wouldn't be surprised to see their number one lineups for all the teams involved tonight. I wouldn't be surprised to see a Schweinsteiger start for Chicago against Philly, and to have a great amount of star power and skills on the starting 11s for Houston and LAFC, and same for Philly. So we'll see how it unfolds tonight. Again, Philly, Chicago, 7 p.m. Eastern. Houston, LA, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. U.S. Open Cup dot... Anyways, just Google USOC 2018. You'll find a way to watch it. Not always televised, especially if you're like me north of the border. But thank goodness that we do find ways to watch them legally on our computers. And if you have a Chromecast, if you have an HDMI cable, this is not a problem. We're going to watch some cup soccer tonight. Speaking of cup soccer, the Voyagers Cup, the Canadian Championship, is in its final stages tonight. Two games tonight, next week tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern in Vancouver. Vancouver versus Toronto FC in the first leg, and next week, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, for the second leg of the Voyagers Cup, known also as the Canadian Championship. It's not the Canada Cup. You either say Voyagers Cup or Canadian Championship. Got it? Oh, before I forget, Dwayne wanted me to mention that for him, Chicago is his favorite to win the U.S. Open Cup, and that's interesting. Now back to the V Cup. Vancouver, Toronto, first leg tonight, second leg next week, and it is televised. It is on television this time around. A lot of reasoning and questioning why the first few rounds were not on TV. Either the League One Ontario Oakville versus PLSQ's Blainville round, or Ottawa versus Blainville's round, or Ottawa TFC Montreal Vancouver round. But the final is on TV, TSN, RDS, later tonight, 10 p.m. once again tonight, to watch Vancouver and TFC play in this first leg of the Voyagers Cup. Remind our listeners that the Voyagers Cup gives you a ticket to go to the CONCACAF Champions League in the knockout phase that starts in the spring. If you're TFC, if you're Vancouver, you are looking at this as a potentially great run that you can have in the CONCACAF Champions League to measure yourselves against Honduran clubs, Costa Rican clubs, Mexican club, Liga MX. Let's not forget Toronto's great run that ended not in the best of fashion last year, well, earlier this spring, when Toronto lost the final versus Chivas Guadalajara, the original Chivas, not the one that is 6 feet under from you know where. So that'll be interesting to see LAFC what makes it tonight. They're not the GOATs, we know, but they're still, it's how do you want to say it? It's their legacy a bit. No, there was a 2-year break. It's fine. It's not a legacy. Okay, I heard you. LAFC is LAFC and Chivas was Chivas. Totally different things. And if you look at the amount of money spent, the amount of success too, totally two different things. But which between Vancouver or Toronto will win the Voyagers Cup and get that ticket to represent Canada in the CONCACAF Champions League? That's the question. We'll see how serious Toronto takes the game tonight. Toronto's in a bad spot in the league. They need a lot of wins and quickly. And even the draw versus Atlanta last Saturday wasn't enough if you want to keep a 2 points per game average from here to the end of the season to have a chance to make it into sixth or fifth position. They're lucky, Toronto, in a way that all the teams above them that are below the red line are not having the best of season and keeps on either drawing or losing and not amassing a lot of points. Yes, a few results for Toronto, 3-4 wins out of 5 games or something like that. We'll see Toronto climb really quickly in the standings. But does Greg Vanney prioritize at this point the Voyagers Cup to get a chance to win the trophy that they didn't last year? Earlier this season, last season. Well, whatever, you know what I mean. That's the question. Interesting. Does Carl Robinson and Vancouver Whitecaps go all out on this one? It might be their chance to win their second Voyagers Cup if they put a strong lineup out and if they're able to beat Toronto, get a few goals advantage, and then move to next week's second leg and hold on to that advantage in Toronto. Could be interesting. Put Alphonso Davies out there, please. We want to see him on television while we can. Because, yeah, Bundesliga and Serie A are on DAZN as of now in Canada. You do have Bundesliga on Sportsnet World and as well on beIN Sport and DAZN, but you do have most of the Bundesliga on Sportsnet World, so you have to pay $20 a month just to be able to watch those games. So that'll cost you money to watch Alphonso Davies in the very near future. So tonight, enjoy. Let's enjoy the Fonz. Let's enjoy Fonzie. And let's watch Alphonso Davies maybe be the key player for Vancouver like he has been over the last couple of weeks. Will we see a Kai Kamara play tonight? Maybe not. Will he still be in Vancouver by the end of the day? That's the question, because tonight at 1 minute before midnight, the transfer window closes. Yes, in-league trades will still be able to happen. Free agent signings will still be able to happen for your favorite MLS clubs. And tomorrow we're having a special 2 Solitude show. So for our Patreons, which you can be part of, patreon.com/sportspodcast, and at work for $2 a month, we'll give you access to exclusive podcasts like the 2 Solitude Soccer Podcast, covering Canadian soccer. Tomorrow's show will be dedicated to it. So if you want to make sure you listen to our sexy voices tomorrow, subscribe, $2 a month, patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. And every dollar that we receive on our Patreon is used to better the quality, better the shows, better the network. So more dollars mean more audio quality on all sides, means more technical abilities, means more time we can dedicate to talk about the beautiful game north of the border and south of the border as well. We know we have more than half of our listenership from the United States, and we do appreciate you all equally. Something we love to do here. Everything's equal. We love everyone. That's because how we roll. So it'll be interesting to see, what are the ramifications of the transfer deadline day today? Will Montreal get finally someone? They've been talking about a lot of names. And on July 27th, Adam Braz mentioned, don't worry, we're going to have an announcement in the next few days. Well, it's been 2 weeks. We're still waiting. Is today the day or not? We'll see. We'll talk about the ramifications of the transfer deadline on Friday, as well as our preview of the Premier League Friday, because Saturday morning, it's back. Waking up early to have my little English breakfast at the English pub there nearby. And if you know me, you know exactly where I'll be Saturday morning at 7 a.m. Pub Burgundy Lion to have a great breakfast and watch Chelsea get a win on the road to start the season. Maybe it's wishful thinking. Maybe it's just my prediction. We'll see. But talking about transfer deadline, there was a trade 2 days ago. Christian Ramirez, also known as Superman. Batman is Miguel Ibarra. Superman Christian Ramirez was traded to LAFC for a potentially total of $1 million of allocation money over 2 years, and we'll listen to Alex Schieffer-Decker after this very break. The interview was recorded last night by Dwayne Rollins, and we'll listen to Alex in 2 seconds, and we'll be right back after it.
You are listening to Soccer Today. Follow us on Twitter at Soccer Today SPN and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/ Sports Podcasting Network. You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.
And welcome back to Soccer Today. Dwayne Rollins here with Alex Schieffer-Decker. Alex, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm well. Shocking news for Minnesota United fans yesterday. Tell us exactly what you thought when you heard news of the trade.
Oh, man. Well, it wasn't surprising because we have, you know, people have been reading the tea leaves and there have been rumors about this for weeks. But it was still a jarring event. It was still disappointing to see it actually happen. I think that, you know, a couple things. Christian Ramirez, what he's meant to Minnesota, he obviously has had success as a goal scorer in MLS and had success as a goal scorer in NASL. And he and Miguel Ibarra were, for a very long time, the only reason why people knew Minnesota. And before MLS, it was their goals and their play that was catching people's attention across the country, even though we weren't in the top division. And so, you know, he was a player who meant a lot to Minnesota in the NASL days in terms of credibility. And obviously, he came to mean a lot to the fans as well over a long time, 5 years with the club. So it's pretty, you know, I don't know, doesn't feel great, honestly.
Well, yeah, I guess pro sports can be cruel that way for sure when you see players that are so attached to these cities get moved on. But as you mentioned, and I'm going to get you to expand on this a little bit more, I think there probably was something more to the fact because he came out of that D2 level and you always, I think, felt that he was underappreciated in D2, and to see him get the opportunity with the national team and to see them get an opportunity to excel at the MLS stage. How much pride did Minnesota United fans take in seeing his success? How much did they incorporate that into their own success, his own excitement as a sports fan?
Well, seeing Christian and also Miguel and also Brent Coleman, three of our NASL guys who've had a lot of success at MLS, I would say. I think that felt certainly for those of us who followed the team during NASL, it almost was sort of, you know, it proved to us that we hadn't been wasting our time, right? And that we really did know something. We hadn't been, you know, just following a bunch of players who were, you know, playing at such an inferior level that, you know, it was sort of pointless when they got up to MLS. I mean, these were guys and still are guys who are having success in MLS. And it says something that Christian Ramirez is a player sought after by the likes of Bob Bradley and the club and the team that he's built at LAFC. So, yeah, you know, I think it says something that, you know, that there was really something magical that was happening with Minnesota and the NASL and that it's good to know that we were a part of it. Of course, the sort of bitter irony is that, you know, these guys went up to MLS and finally are performing at a level and on a stage where they could be appreciated. And yet I don't think that they've been properly appreciated by our club's front office and our team's technical staff. So there's certainly an irony there for a lot of fans.
It's not been the smoothest of launches from an expansion standpoint, particularly when you look at, you know, who you came in with in the expansion league. And I know you're probably all sick of being compared to Atlanta, but certainly, certainly when you see the comparisons on the points, it's just, it's glaring, it's obvious. So is this like just a further sort of slap to that? And will this actually turn people away, do you think?
I don't think it's part of that narrative. I understand how that, you know, we get compared constantly, but the truth is that besides our year of entry, there's really nothing in common between us and Atlanta. And come next year, when Minnesota opens a brand new soccer-specific stadium and Atlanta's still playing in a giant, you know, football stadium on artificial turf, I'll be very happy with where we are. Now, obviously, when Atlanta's getting 70,000 people a game, you know, some envy is going to be, you know, a natural. But I think that Minnesota are in a good place off the field, and I think that, you know, the attendance is growing, and I think that things generally with the club are looking quite up. And I think that the team we have is not necessarily as bad as it looks as well. I'm one of the people who thinks that a change of coaching would help us a great deal, and we would be significantly better if that occurred.
Fair enough. Maybe we'll explore that in a second. But from a soccer perspective, obviously, it's a whole lot of futures, basically, that were handed back Minnesota's way. How confident are you that you can turn those into something that matches the production that you would have been guaranteed had you kept the player?
You know, as everyone knows, the track record of our team at MLS in finding quality talent for MLS is not great. But I will say that the two guys that we signed this summer window, Angelo Rodriguez, who is going to be starting at striker now that Ramirez is gone, and Romario Ibarra, a winger, we haven't seen a lot of them so far. They've only had a couple of appearances, but they look sharp. They look, and with the caveat that this is early days, they look a step above what we've seen from the previous guys we've brought in. And I do think that with a year and a half plus of scouting and lessons learned, I expect that the front office is not going to screw up quite so badly this time. And just to, you know, of course, as you know, with like Akeche and RSL blew it with Alfredo Ortuño this year, even seasoned MLS front offices make mistakes. So no one is immune. But I do think that with the you know, bundles of allocation money that we have at our disposal now, I think that we should be able to do something productive with it. Certainly, we expect that something productive will be done with it.
Obviously, when you look back to Minnesota's launch, the first month was awful. I don't think anyone could deny that. And there was some really poor decisions made, particularly at the back line in those early days. How much do you think that taints people's view of the Minnesota front office, Minnesota as a team right now, those early mistakes? And you know, no front office is perfect, as you say, but how much have you moved past that, do you think?
Oh, it taints it tremendously. I think this is a question that you certainly can answer, because you know how it was with Toronto FC, where they were the laughingstock of the league for years and years and years, all the way until, you know, even past the point where they started to spend big money. I mean, it took a couple years for them to figure out how to spend that money to be successful. I think that with Minnesota, you know, until this is a team that shows that it's competitive, until this is a team that makes the playoffs and looks, not just makes the playoffs, because you can do that easily in MLS, you know, but a team that looks cohesive, looks put together. I mean, I think that legacy of that early, that first impression, I think is going to last for quite a while.
Certainly. I mean, with TFC, they earned that first impression lasting too. I mean, but there is that.
Yeah. Well, and hopefully we don't have quite a run of futility that you guys had. But
don't hire Aaron Venture. There's my hardcore suggestion to you: is don't hire Aaron Venture to clean up the messes. Don't hire a worse mess to clean up the first mess.
We hired Adrian Heath, so I don't know.
There you go.
What we're doing,
chasing the tail there a little bit. We'll see. Expand on that. You feel a coaching change might help. You know, why do you feel that way?
Oh man, I'm exhausted by this guy. I really am. It's just, I think that Adrian Heath, he has a lot of. I want to stay away from like that sort of personal tics that bother people. But I'll say that the two complaints I have is that his talent identification has been extremely poor. This is someone who went through an entire preseason with Vadim Demidov and didn't notice that he was a traffic cone. And I think that with regards to the NASL guys, I mean, they're the perfect examples, because Miguel Ibarra, who has been, you know, along with Darwin Quintero, our best player this year, was like constantly like publicly called out and insulted and kept on the bench and just dragged by the coaching staff all last year. And now suddenly, you know, we got injuries to our two main wingers. And so he kind of fell into all this playing time. And it turned out that he was one of the team's best players. That was something that all of us could have told the coaching staff a long time ago, but they had to basically be forced into learning it. There's been a couple instances of that. I would say Christian Ramirez, I would say Brent Coleman were similar scenarios in which these guys were good, and for whatever reason, the coaching staff couldn't see it until they were forced to play them and they were successful. The other problem I have with Adrian Heath is that accountability on this team has been, it only seems to apply to certain players. This year, we've dropped a lot of points because of guys like Ibsen and Francisco Calvo, Michael Boxall making big mistakes. And not to say that these guys are bad players, but every week their name is written Sharpie into our starting lineup, no matter how badly they played the week before, no matter how out of it they, you know, whatever mistakes they made. And it is frustrating as a fan to have, you know, to want to see, like, let's say the guys we drafted, you know, get some minutes, but know that because the two center backs we have are the coach's favorites, you know, unless one of those guys gets injured, we're not going to see any kind of rotation on the back line. That kind of stuff is really, really frustrating. I can't imagine what it does to the locker room, but certainly from a fan perspective, it's really, really irritating. And if the team was winning, everyone would put up with it, but the team isn't winning a lot. And so when we're losing and we refuse to change, you know, certain members of the team and we continue to lose, it's a little weird.
From an outside perspective, I look at this trade and I look at the way Minnesota has sort of existed in the first year and a half of the MLS side of this team. It seems to me like they really have approached this like soft launch, hard launch kind of thing. And the hard launch will be the opening of the stadium. And that's when it's real. That's when they're going to be an MLS team and things are going to change at that point. That's probably what the management's perspective is from my outside perspective. Is that how you feel? Do you feel that this is kind of a soft launch that they're going through right now? And until you're in that full-time stadium, nothing much is going to matter or nothing much is going to change?
Well, that's how we've all kind of referred to it for the past year and a half. It's certainly not the view you have is a very common view. There's a lot of evidence to support it. I think the club would push back on the fact that it's a soft launch. I think that they would, and that they've been trying to compete from the start, but I do think that they have been committed to the idea of building slowly. And more than soft launch, hard launch, let's say that they've been committed to the idea that they are not going to rush it. And that if the initial moves they made didn't pan out, they weren't going to panic, you know, and throw a lot of money at, you know, some aging star, which I'm happy with. I think that's good. I didn't need Wayne Rooney on my team. I think that they certainly, let's say certainly, the pressure will be on next season. After these 2 years in which they have been very patient and they have not rushed to fill obvious holes in the roster, I think that the expectation will be that next season those holes will be filled.
Where does this team fitting in the market right now? I mean, obviously Minnesota, Minneapolis is a very big sports market. You have a lot of sports teams there. You have them all there. So where is this fitting in right now in terms of just general view? I know you don't live in the market, but what your is your perspective of that?
Yeah, so I just for your listeners, I live in Philadelphia, so I'm not the perfect person to ask about that. I'll say that it is a very tough market. You have the other four major men's sports teams. You have the most a successful WNBA team in the country. You have a Big Ten university with three revenue sports, not just football and basketball, but also hockey. You have the most popular, one of the most popular minor league baseball teams in the country. I mean, there is, it is a totally oversaturated sports market. There's no doubt about it. I think that Minnesota have been successful, and I've been sort of pleasantly surprised. They are, as far as I know, I believe they're in a sellout streak right now. They've been drawing 22, 23, 24,000 a game to a pretty crappy stadium to watch soccer. I think that next season I would be very disappointed if they did not sell at every game with a reduced capacity and a much better environment to watch the game. That's certainly my expectation. I happen to know it's the front office's expectation as well. I think that such as it is, this is sort of a resurgent time for Minnesota sports, where all of the other major men's teams are somewhat competitive, which is new for the state. I think that Minnesota have been pretty successful in carving a niche for themselves, as far as I can tell, and I'm excited about that.
That is good. All right, I'll end it with this one. I don't think Minnesota is going to make the playoffs, and I think most Minnesota fans might agree with that. You never know. So, is there two favorite teams for the hardcore or old time Minnesota United fan the rest of the way, or out of sight, out of mind when it comes to this trade?
Oh, I mean, I think that a lot of people will be rooting for Christian to score a hat trick every game and LAFC to win the MLS Cup after this. I mean, I think that beyond just being a great player, Christian has been a great member of the community and a great guy. And everyone who has met him has and interacted with him has said as much. And I should mention that this trade, well, a very bitter pill for us, I think is a great move for him, because not only will he be going to a good club and making the playoffs almost certainly, but he's from Southern California. His wife's from Southern California. They have a month-old baby. So I think that for the sake of his family, I think that I'm happy for him. I think that this is the perfect place where he could have gone. And I think that we'll all be rooting for him to succeed over there.
Fair enough. All right, Alex, let the listeners know how they can read your stuff and what's going on right now.
Well, the site I write for is 55.1. That's the website, and the Twitter is 55.1.
All right, Alex, thanks for your time as always, and try and enjoy the rest of the season and that build towards the new stadium launch next year.
Yep, thank you very much.
And we're back on Soccer Today. Thank you to Alex Schieferdecker of 55.1 for his time last night with Dwayne Rollins. Thank you, Dwayne, for the interview. Dwayne will be back on the 2 Solid 2 Soccer Podcast tomorrow for patrons only, patreon.com/sports podcast. And network $2 goes a long way to help us continue to grow the network, grow the show, Soccer Today, and all the other shows that you can find on SPN. And every podcast is available at sportspodcastingnetwork.com. And just a bit of rumor, you know, it's August 8th. It's the last day of the transfer window. The international transfer certificate has to be received before midnight tonight. We'll see if anything happens. But here's a quick little tidbit of information. Anthony Jackson-Amel is not at the training this morning for the Impact, for the Montreal Impact. He did have a knock on his left calf for the last few weeks. Is that the reason? Or is there something behind that? Is he going to get traded? Is he getting transferred out? Or is he just injured? All questions that will have answers later today or the next few days. And we will look at the transfer window as a whole in the next few days and look at the good moves, the bad moves, and the so-so moves. There's a little bit of everything, and we'll touch it on Friday in the next edition of Soccer Today, which you can follow us on social media, Soccer Today, SPN, and as well like our Facebook page, facebook.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. It will be a fascinating day today to see if anything happens either on the Montreal Impact side, the Toronto side. Toronto does need maybe some reinforcement, but they're having those reinforcements already by just players coming back from injuries. So this is kind of their transfer window. The transfer window for Toronto is literally the infirmary transferring players back to the first team, and that could be enough for Toronto. Still on paper, one of the strongest side in Major League Soccer. I do feel the last 2 years and a half of playing very deep in the season, having the CCL, having a lot of games, it caught up to them. And the injuries are probably related to that as well, especially on the Josie side. But now that players are coming back, Toronto could make a push for maybe the sixth spot. Fifth at the highest, maybe. But we'll see. That there's not a big disparity of points in the Eastern Conference, like I was mentioning earlier. And Vancouver needs to look at the league, too. We'll see which team prioritizes the league or the Voyagers Cup tonight. Once again, 10 p.m. Eastern Time on TSN, on RDS, 7 p.m. Pacific. The final is televised, and you can watch it and record it on your DVRs. And we'll talk about it on the next Two Solitude Soccer Podcasts, which will be recorded tomorrow and available at patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork for $2 a month. A dollar of solitudes gives you access to this exclusive show. As always, you can follow myself on Twitter at Kev Larame, and on Facebook, just look Kev Larame, you'll find me as well, and Dwayne Rollins on social media at 24th Minute. And until Friday for the next edition of Soccer Today, well, have a great Cup Games and have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.